This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
MashaAllah. Sheikh, you mentioned Darul Uloom Bari quite a few times. When did you study, or when did you enroll into Darul Uloom Bari? How did the transition happen? Like, why did you choose Darul Uloom Bari at that age? And when did that transition happen? So, at childhood, we understand you were studying with your father locally at the masjid that he had established here, and then you moved over to Darul Uloom Bari for further education. When did that happen, and why this seminary?
That's a good question, why this seminary? And the answer to that is that, of course, it's you don't make a decision yourself. So it's your parents. Like most students where you study, if you're a young child or a teenager as well, then your parents, they make the decision for you. So of course, my father made the decision. My elder two brothers, they both had studied in Darul Uloom Bari. My elder brother, he graduated from Darul Uloom Bari. We say Darul Uloom Bari for those viewers. Bari is a place, it's an area near Manchester. So it's in the greater Manchester area, north of UK, northern part of UK. Bari is a small town. Next to it, it's not even in Bari. Darul Uloom, this Islamic seminary, madrasa, it's not even in Bari, it's next to Bari. It's actually, there's another real small town called Ramsbottom. And it's not even in Ramsbottom. It is just outside Ramsbottom, but it's called Holcombe, like Holcombe area. It's just, like you can say Ramsbottom. Many people have been to Darul Uloom in Bari. So my elder brother graduated from there in 1984. And then my second brother graduated from there in 1990. So, and the founder of Darul Uloom Bari, Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Mutala, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, who established it, and who was a student of Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahimahullah. So upon the instructions of Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahimahullah, established it, I think, towards the end of 1970s. And Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahimahullah visited the UK twice. So my father was closely connected to Sheikh Yusuf Mutala Rahimahullah, therefore, he sent all his sons there, first son there, second son there as well. And as part of the, you know, the tartib, the order, the third son had to go there as well. So I went there.
In which year did you?
Yeah. And so I was, you know, like I said, initial studies, I completed Hifz at the age of 9. And then age of 10, I was still at home, revising my Quran, etc., learning a bit of Urdu, basic Islamic studies, etc., age 11. And then at the age of 12, now one of the things was my father didn't want me to go to a secondary school because of, we never used to have Islamic schools. So these schools, they were mixed, boys and girls. Now I'm about to become a teenager. It's a non-Islamic school, what they will teach, etc. So my father just didn't want that to happen. So that was one of the reasons that as soon as I finished my primary school, we used to have in those days, we used to have primary, first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, and then you go into secondary. First year, secondary, second year, third year, fourth year. Now it's become year one, year two, something like that. So when you go into secondary, what year is that?
That's year seven.
Year seven.
So year six, you finish primary.
Primary, yeah.
And then you move on to year seven.
Year seven. So when I was moving on to year seven, that's when I went to Darul Uloom Bari. They have their own school there as well. But the issue was that they didn't have year seven there. They only started from year eight or year nine. It was actually year nine. And they were not taking children as young as me. They had to be 13 or something like that. I was like 11-ish, 11 going on to being 12. But they made a special exception for me because my father was connected. And my elder brother was there as well. So my elder brother will look after me. So under that premise, they took me in. And plus I had completed the Quran. At that time, it was unheard of that a child who's 10, 11 has memorized the Quran. So because I had memorized the Quran as well, number two, my brother was there as well. And number three, my father had connections with Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Rahimahullah. So they accepted me. I did a bit of further tajweed, etc., and revision of the Quran, and then I went into the first year of Alimiyya course. Darul Uloom in Bari is a boarding madrasa. So I stayed there, and students used to stay there. We used to have 3 official yearly holidays. So after first exams, second exams, and then end of year. End of year is Ramadan time. You get the full Ramadan and a week before and after. So 3 official ones. And then outside of that as well, you can take unofficial weekends where people close by, students who are living close in Lancashire, they would go home. The ones who are further, not as often, but every 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you can come home. So I remember we used to come in a coach or a van, all the students studying from here, from Leicester. We used to go in a van. The same, I still remember the M62 and the M66 after that, and then the Ramsbottom sign comes. And then, you know, you can see a tower behind a mountain there, and that's a sign of Darun Bari. For that, for us at that time, that was like, you know, the Tower of Mecca and the Tower of Medina and everything in one. You know, as you're growing up, like, that's the sacred tower, like, you're looking at. So anyway, I used to come, I think, at least 3 times a year to Leicester. But besides that, once or twice in the year as well, I used to come home. So I have been out of home since the age of 12. You know, I haven't stayed fully at home from age of 12. It's like now it's just coming and going. I only stayed 11 years at home, fully with parents every single day. 11, 12, I've been out of the house. And since then, I've been traveling and going and since then. So Darul Uloom in Bury, B-U-R-Y, for those, you can check it up on Google Maps next to Manchester, which is a famous city in UK. So I grew up there and I studied there as well. But you could say my second decade of my life was there. So the childhood, first 10 years here, the second decade is there. It's all heavily influenced by Darul Uloom Bury from the year 11 onwards till year 20. I revised the Quran there. I did the Alimiyah there. I you know, stayed there. I became so familiar to the area. Like I said, you know, we used to have it's a very nice scenic area. Location is a very scenic area. There's a nice mountain. I don't know if some of you have been there. The mountain is there. Behind there is a tower. We've climbed on the tower. On the weekends, we used to go to Ramsbottom, go to the local fish and chips place, Steve's Fish and Chips, I still remember. There used to be a pizza place as well. We used to get so happy to order a pizza sometimes. Play football on the weekend. So we used to have the main grass area where we used to have big matches, and then we used to have five-a-side table tennis and everything. I grew up in that area. In terms of studies, I did the Alimiyah there. Ula, the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year. I mean, in the beginning, because we do it in school, so you have to do 2 years. You have to do 1 year in 2 years because you're doing it part-time. So the first year was done in 2 years because afternoon is school. You have to do all your GCSEs and things like that. So I did the 6 years of Alimiyah there. Alhamdulillah, Allah, I would like to thank all the teachers who I studied by. I mean, there's so many of them. I can't even mention all the names. I remember them, of course, but this is a massive list of teachers who I studied by. In the initial years, I remember there was somebody called Maulana Ibrahim. I studied a bit of Sarf by him and Maulana Abdullah, and just so many teachers. A famous scholar of UK, Sheikh Maulana Salim Durat, Hafidhahullah, I studied by him as well. He's in Leicester. I studied Riyadu Saliheen by him because he used to teach there. He graduated from Darul Uloom Bury as well, and he continued to be a teacher there, and then he left after that. Many teachers, Qari Muhammad Ismail, Rahimahullah, some of them have passed away. He was a Tajweed teacher. He's passed away. There's Maulana Umarji, rahimahullah. He recently passed away. We studied. He was known as the Imam of Mirath, like an expert in inheritance knowledge. We studied by him. There's Sheikh Fadli Haq, Maulana Fadli Haq. He's the principal of the Lancaster Girls Darul Uloom. His brother, Sufi Muhammad Tahir, who's still a teacher at Darul Uloom Bury. I studied Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar by him. He's an amazing. They call him Sufi Tahir because he's a very pious, righteous person. MashaAllah, amazing person. Very knowledgeable, very knowledgeable. Studied parts of Al-Hidayah and Hanafi Fiqh by him, as well as Sheikh Ma'ani al-Athar of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, by him. There's so many other teachers, I can't even mention them. But in the final year, we had teachers. There's Sheikh Maulana Bilal, hafidhahullah, who is quite famous Urdu speeches, he's quite eloquent in them. A student of Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah, Sheikh Mawlana Bilal. We studied parts of Sunan Nasa'i by him. Alhamdulillah, may Allah preserve him. And he's doing a lot of khidmah, mashallah, very popular. Sheikh Abdurrahim Limbada, who speaks in English as well and quite famous in the UK. I studied Sahih Muslim by him. he's also graduate of Darul Bari. And not just Sahih Muslim, there was Maqamat al-Hariri and some other books I studied by him. And then we had Sheikh Mawlana Hashim, Hafidhahullah. He's bedridden, he's very old and frail, and he's not well these days, make dua for him, but he's been like that for the past few years. He was a senior teacher, a student, and a disciple of Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah. We studied the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud by him, from the six books. Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we studied by Sheikh Mufti Shabir Ahmed. Mufti Shabir Ahmed lives in Blackburn, a student of Sheikh Muhammad Yunus Janfuri rahimahullah, a very famous scholar, one of my teachers. And mashallah, he taught the Sunan al-Tirmidhi in a lot of depth, a lot of detail. I benefited a lot from him, from his balance, his expertise, his depth of fiqh and his hadith knowledge. He's an expert in both hadith and fiqh. He likes to keep a balance between the two and move side by side hadith and fiqh. So, alhamdulillah, benefited a lot from him. And also, so that's Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan Abu Dawud, Sunan Nasa'i, and Sunan Ibn Majah. Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Yusuf Mutala rahimahullah taught us Sunan Ibn Majah. He used to teach Sahih Muslim, but for our year, he swapped over with Sheikh Abdurrahim Limbada. Sheikh Abdurrahim Limbada used to teach Sunan Ibn Majah. So for that year, he said, look, give me Sunan Ibn Majah, you take Sahih Muslim. Because he used to teach Sahih Muslim, the second highest book. And Sahih al-Bukhari was taught by the famous Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Islam al-Haq. I say famous within Darul Uloom Bari students and graduates and scholars. Maybe not so for many people watching this. He was the Sheikh al-Hadith, meaning the person who taught Sahih al-Bukhari at Darul Uloom Bari for good 16 years. He taught every year until our year. We were the final class. I graduated from there in 1996. We were the final class. He was an old scholar. He was in his, I think, late 70s. Amazing, amazing scholar, pious scholar, very knowledgeable, very humble, extremely humble. You know, if somebody used to pick up his shoes, he used to hit your hands up. Don't take my shoes, he didn't like anyone to do anything for him. Just simple, away from the limelight. In those days, we never used to have all the social media and things like that, YouTube anyway, but even in those days, he used to just be very down to earth. He was a Sheikh al-Hadith, very knowledgeable. Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawla, meaning the teacher of Hadith, Sheikh Islam al-Haq, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He passed away the year, like I said, we completed the whole Sahih al-Bukhari by him. And alhamdulillah, I had the honor of reading the whole Sahih al-Bukhari, like students in madrasa know to read Ibara. But what that means is, for those who are not familiar, is that one of the students reads, because you know when you read hadith, there's few ways of reading. In the olden times as well, one is the teacher reading and the student listening. That's the highest level, which is, you have different levels. Sima'ah, so you hear the teacher. One is qira'ah, so the student reads the hadith and the teacher already has the hadith. In those days, because it never used to be books, it used to be the teachers that used to give you a copy of his. But now we have a book, so we can apply this to, like, everyone has Sahih al-Bukhari. The teacher is reciting, that's the highest form. Second is the student is reading. And the third is qira'atan alayhi wa ana asma'. Somebody else is, like, you're in a class, one student is reading and the rest are listening, so that's the third level. So in all the six books, we used to have different students reading, etc. In the final year, I just made sure I just read only. I started reading on the first day and nobody in my class asked, so I said, okay, it's okay. So we used to read sometimes 35, 40 pages. So from the beginning till end, I did the whole recitation, qira'ah, of Sahih al-Bukhari by him. And we studied Sahih al-Bukhari. I remember we went to meet him after our year had finished and we gave our exams. We went to his house. He used to live in Bolton, which is a town in UK, in northern part of UK. And he said, make dua for me. I stay very ill nowadays. And then he went for Umrah. And in Ramadan, on the 27th night, in Medina, I believe. Makkah or Medina, but if I remember correctly, it was in Medina. Whilst offering Tahajjud Salah, he was in sujood and he passed away. Sheikh al Hadith Mawlana Islam al Haq rahimahullah. And he passed away, and then after that, you know, Sheikh al Hadith Mawlana Yusuf Mutala started teaching the following year Sahih al Bukhari since 1997 onwards. So alhamdulillah, he was a unique teacher of ours, and many students who have graduated from Darul Bari studied Sahih al-Bukhari by him. So these were the teachers. I mean, there's so many others. Like I said, we used to have exams, three exams, the annual yearly one, but there were two other exams as well. We used to have notebooks. We used to, you know, write. I think I have some here as well. You know, just some books as well that from those days. If I can just show the viewers, you know, just these are just some of the like old books. These were handbooks. What do you call them?
Exercise books.
Yeah. This is actually, look, we're talking about Mufti Shabbir Ahmed. I have 10 of these. So he taught us Sunan Tirmidhi. This, it says here, Jami' Sunan Tirmidhi. Mufti Shabbir Ahmed is a teacher. Exercise book 8. I know I've got 10. So, and this was like handwritten. So it's Jami' al-Tirmidhi, the teacher's name. I've written my name here, Al-Abdul Da'if, Muhammad bin Adam. Exercise book number 8. And then this, Babu ma ja'a fi tarki salah. Chapter, leaving prayer, abandoning the prayer. Bayna al-Abdi wa al-Kufri tarku salah. Riwaya Ahmed, Ishaq, wa ba'du Shafi'a ibn Mubarak, Takfir. It's half in Urdu, half in Arabic. He used to, of course, lecture in Urdu, but it's easier to write in Arabic because it's shorter. You just like, just say, عند, قال, قول, عند, حتى, you know, just إشكال وجوابه. So half Urdu, half, you know, so I've got 10 of these. And then this is, look, Nur al-Idah. This is in the second year, fiqh book. It's just, you know, some translations in Urdu. We used to study all in Urdu at that time. English was unheard of. I think I started the bid'ah of teaching in English when we started in the madrasa here. This is also Babu Mala, Yufsidu Sawm, and you know, it's like translations. I've got Sarf, I've got Nahu, I've got first year, second year, all sorts. These were like some kind of exercise books. I don't know what this is. Jalalain in Tafsir. Mufti Shabbir Ahmed taught us. There was another teacher called Mufti Ibrahim Raja. He's still, alhamdulillah, hafidhahullah. He lives in Blackburn. He taught us as well. He was one of my teachers. So there's quite a, I've got all of these exercise books. And then I've got a file there as well, but we don't need to look at it. You know, the question papers. I've kept all my answer papers as well. From year one till the final year. Three exams. We used to have out of 50. So, Dassabaq, Nurul Idah, Durusul Lughal Arabiyah. I've got all of them. And you know, my issue was that in the beginning, because I was young. So I wasn't quite serious. I didn't study. I wasn't serious. It was my father just sent me and I had to go and study. So I wasn't studying properly. I used to play around and mess around and, you know, I wasn't serious. And I actually think that at that age, it's a bit too early. It's too early to send children at that age.
At what age?
I mean, like when I went at age of 12, 13, 14, my initial teenage years, 13, 14, I'm doing Alimiya class. I'm studying Nurul Ibah, I'm studying Usul of the Hanafi Madhab, and I'm studying Arabic language and grammar and Sarf and Nahu and syntax and all of these things. So at that age, I wasn't serious. I used to be more interested in football and in playing football and following football. You know, I used to have a small radio. I used to try to hide in my pocket and try to listen to the scores of who's winning Liverpool. And Liverpool were the best team then and probably still are, I don't know. But they used to win everything. And I used to, like, when we used to have the mutala'a, which is revision time, I used to take a small radio there and I try to listen what the scores are and more interested in the World Cup and all of those kind of things. So my marks, like if I look at those papers, it used to be out of 50. I used to get like 30, sometimes 20, 25. I used to be average. Alhamdulillah, I didn't fail. I think maybe once, but I never like failed in any lesson without putting in any effort. But then as you grow, you become more mature. And this is why I've seen that, you know, those students who studied when they are mature, they study better. That's why I've seen that, you know, when I've gone to places like Syria to study, which we'll talk about later, I've seen students who've studied at school, college, university, they've done their degree and things like that. And you know, after that, they've come to study. They're 21, 22. Some of them are reverts, converts to Islam, and they're mature. And they've come to study. So they, because they're coming on their own accord, they're coming on their own accord, their own interest, they're very serious. And I will talk about that later. But because it wasn't like that for me, and I was just, you know, sent. So I wasn't that serious. But then towards the end, when I became 17, 18, I became more serious. And that's where I studied properly. And in my last 2-3 years, most exams, I actually came first or second. I remember the final year as well. It was all three exams, either first or second, the second to last year. But only the last 2-3 years. But the initial years, I hadn't studied properly. So these were the, you know, six, seven years of Alimiyah, because we did the first year half and 7 years. And then, actually, I also want to mention this, that I also did 1 year Iftah, which is the takhassus in fatwa course, which is the what we call the mufti course. So when I finished there, Mufti Shabir Ahmed was my teacher. He said to me, look, why don't you stay over and you know, practice writing fatwa? So I stayed one extra year. There was another 2 students with me. We had a class of three people. 1 year extra. Because in Darul Uloom Berri, they did have some iftar classes many, many years back. But for many years, they didn't have it. So he suggested to me that, look, it would be good for you if you stayed. So I, you know, stayed over for 1 more year. And I studied Sharh Uqood Rasm al-Mufti, which is a book, and practicing, training, fatwa. And I have some of those fatwa from that time as well, which we can see, inshallah, which I wrote in those days. So I stayed 1 more year. And, you know, alhamdulillah, that was a time at Darul Uloom Berri. Darul Uloom Berri taught a lot of things, taught, you know, it was a growing up period. It was the second decade of my life. I can't finish mentioning Darul Uloom Berri without the mention of somebody called Qari Yaqub, who was a supervisor. You know, people have been, alhamdulillah, they've had some, I wouldn't say beatings, but people have had his wrath a lot. And I was also one of those people. So he used to be the supervisor there. So yeah, Darul Uloom Berri, alhamdulillah.
So Sheikh, many of our viewers from, mashallah, many of the teachers that you've studied, I think one name probably stands out a lot to them. That's Hazrat Sheikh Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib. What was your relationship like with him? If you can share some words about how he influenced you whilst you were studying. What are some of the things that stood out for you whilst you were there as a student?
Sheikh al-Hadith, Sheikh Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Mutala, rahimahullah ta'ala. Many people know of him. He was the founder of the Darul Uloom in Berri. A great student, lover of Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya, rahimahullah, and a very close student of Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya, rahimahullah, who was sent by Sheikh al-Hadith. Sheikh Zakariya sent him to the UK, and he established Darul Uloom Berri. And many UK graduates are his students, graduates of Darul Uloom Berri, great scholars, popular scholars of UK. They all looked up to him, and they've all talked about him. I don't have to talk too much. There's lots of talks and lectures and material available, and there's articles about him. He, you know, passed away just 2-3 years ago, 2018, I think, passed away when he was in Canada, in Toronto. Alhamdulillah, I went to his grave. So like I said, that I knew him from childhood. He used to come to my house as well. And we all grew up. He was known as Hazrat. Like, that's it. There was only one. Hazrat means, it's a term used for reverence and for respect. There was only one Hazrat in the world for us. We grew up just looking up, and he had, our ultimate respect was for him, our love for him. Not just my family, the siblings, but people in my sort of age group and from my time. Students who were studying at Darul Uloom Berri as well, everybody. He had a lot of awe over us. And I mean, when you're young, you just think that that's it. He is the superb. Like Ma'soom, for example. Of course, we know Ma'soom means infallible. Nobody's Ma'soom, infallible except Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But when you're young, it's fine when you're young to think someone Ma'soom, you know. So it's fine because when you're young, if you're made to believe certain things, it's fine. But when you grow up, then you become intelligent. But at that time, it's for you to be able to do things. But alhamdulillah, he was very pious, an amazing person in terms of piety, his ibadah, his sincerity, his tawadu, his humility, and also his knowledge. He was a very knowledgeable person. A lot of people think that he's just a pious person, but no, he was very knowledgeable, very well read. He's author of books as well, and a very high level of knowledge as well. Maybe not as, prolific writer as some of the other, very prolific writers, but he still nevertheless authored some books in Urdu. Some of them have been translated into English. Sheikh Muhammad Yusuf Mutala. Now, very close to my family, my father's very close to him. My elder brother was very close to him. And actually, he traveled with him on this trip to Canada when he passed away. And my elder brother just recently released a book in Urdu called Jamala Yusufi, the Beauty of Yusuf, where he gathered, some of his letters and things like that. And he also gathered his letters before as well. So he was very close to him. My other brother was close to him. And so people in my family have always been very close to him. I myself, probably I wasn't as close to him as my other family members, and maybe as I ought to, I like to have. Maybe that's my deficiency. I didn't stay that much in contact with him after I graduated, etc. He was my teacher, of course. We studied Sunan Ibn Majah with him, also some portions of the translation of the Quran with him, and also one or two other books. But now and then I used to, write to him or speak to him, but not as frequently, as my other siblings or many other graduates of Darul Uloom Bari who were very, very close to him. I wasn't as close. I was in the initial years, but then I became, because I went to study different places and I got busy with a lot of different things. So, of course, I have had ultimate admiration and love and respect for him, but I didn't have a very personal connection with him.
Sheikh, you mentioned that you then travelled to other places to study. So where did your journey of seeking ilm then take you after Darul Uloom Bari?
Yeah, so after Darul Uloom Bari, like I mentioned, that I finished at Darul Uloom Bari at the age of around 20. Mm. Yeah, so that's the second decade gone. Now we're going into the third decade.
And this was when you had completed your takhassus fil fiqh.
Yeah, the ifta takhassus fil fiqh, or it was called in Darul Uloom Bari the ifta course or the mufti course. Mm. It's just 1 year. Now the course can be 2 years, it could be 3 years, it could be 4 years. Really, there's no ending to that course, to be honest. It's a lifelong thing. It's not really something you can just complete studying. So some places they just say it's 1 year. So in Darul Uloom Bari it was just like 1 year. Mm-hmm. There was only three people in our class, and we studied Sharh Uqudi Rasm al Mufti, which is written by Imam Ibn Abidin of the Hanafi Madhab, by Mufti Shabir Ahmed. And there was one or two other books as well. We studied Al Ashbah wal Nadair by Sheikh Abdul Rahman Imbada, and we did another book as well. And we did, practicing of fatwa writing. So that was 1 year. You could say I completed that course, the iftar course. But I felt after that I didn't actually have the intention to do that. Because doing an iftar course and then taking a career in fatwa and being a mufti, like I don't use that time to title for myself, but in the eyes of people, it's a very difficult role and a very difficult job. Then you have to be prepared for that for the long term. People will be asking you questions 11 o'clock at night and 12 o'clock at night, and this, if you're prepared to have sleepless nights, staying awake till 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., then the fatwa, iftar, mufti is your career. But if you are not prepared for that, then that's not your career, then you need to do something else. So I didn't make that conscious decision at that time. Actually, Mufti Shabir Ahmed, who was my teacher, he kind of put me into it. He said, just stay over because, you're studying well, so if you carry on, then it'll be good. So I just did that, and I didn't really have an intention of doing that. But when I did that, 1 year, takhassus fil fiqh wal fatwa, ifta, mufti course, whatever you want to call it, came back to Leicester and people already started calling me Mufti. I said, you know what, like, this is 1 year is not enough. I need to actually go and study somewhere. Mm-hmm. More. So I was thinking, because after I graduated, without going into too much details, I had a 1 year break where I actually, went to Canada and I taught a bit there, and I went to Portugal in a madrasa, I taught a bit here and there. But I was thinking where to go and study. And there was a lot of different things. You know, at that time, I was thinking, shall I go and study? A lot of students, graduates from Darul Uloom Berri, used to go and study in Al Jamiatul Islamiyah in Medina, Tayyibah, Medina Munawara, Islamic University in Medina. Even though there is a difference of methodology and understanding, especially at that time, because these Darul Uloom Berri students and teachers and graduates, they follow the Hanafi Madhab and they follow Ash'ari Maturidi school, and they affiliate themselves to Tasawwuf and Sufism, etc. Whereas down there, they could be a bit harsh or against following Madhabs and Taqleed and Tasawwuf, etc. Even though I think a lot of the times it's actually misunderstandings and it's just blown out of proportion, a lot of things. But still, they used to go there. And I think they used to go there not really for the study. I think one of the main reasons was staying in Medina. That was maybe 80% of the reason why. And number two, maybe get some formal accreditation, get an MA or something. So those are the two reasons. They just wanted some paperwork. They weren't really, really wanting to study by the great shuyukh there. So some one or two went to Azhar as well. That was more similar in line and understanding. But you wouldn't get the Medina, the city of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. So some did that. So even me, when I was there, I was thinking Medina University or Azhar, or some suggestions that I should go to India to study. Some of them went to Saharanpur, which is like, you can say, the mother institution of Darul Uloom Berri, because Sheikh Yusuf Mutala graduated from the Madahir Uloom Madrasa in Saharanpur, where Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakaria rahimahullah used to teach. So one or two of Darul Uloom Berri teachers had gone and studied there, like Sheikh Abdul Rahim Imbada, Mufti Shabir Ahmed, Sheikh Bilal. All of them had gone Saharanpur in earlier times. And that's a connection. So there was that kind of idea that also came about. I was just, one year I was just thinking what to do, what not to do, etc., etc. And then I just made I made my own decision. So this was not something that my parents or my father had told me. The decision was basically that I want to go and study in Karachi, Darul Uloom Karachi, but not really Darul Uloom Karachi. I just wanted to go and study by Sheikh Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah. And the reason was that from childhood days, like I said, from a young age, when I grew up in my house, what did I see? Books. I used to see books of Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah. I used to see my own father reading the books of Mufti Taqi Uthmani before giving his majalis and this. Like even in Ramadan, I'tikaf, he used to take Hakim ul Ummah Mawlana Shuri Tami's books, and I used to have Mufti Taqi Uthmani's Islahi Khutbat. And then, this is the reason why I chose Mufti Taqi Uthmani. My first decade, the childhood, first 10 years, I saw my father connected to books of Mufti Taqi Uthmani. My second decade in Darul Uloom Berri as well, I saw my teachers talking about him in class. Like Sheikh Abdul Rahim Limbada, Hafidhahullah, he's teaching Sahih Muslim. He's quoting different older commentaries of Sahih Muslim. And then he's saying, Sheikh Taqi Uthmani says in his Takmil al-Fath al-Mulhim, we used to study student Jami' Tirmidhi by Mufti Shabir Ahmed. Every student had Dars Tirmidhi, and Mufti Shabir also sometimes used to use that. So books, you just saw books of Mufti Taqi Uthmani everywhere. Mufti Taqi Uthmani this, Mufti Taqi Uthmani that, everybody. So then this is someone I got interested in. I started reading his books. I remember I saw one of his earlier first books I read was written in Urdu, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and Historical Truths, which was like an answer response given to a book written by Mawlana Abu al-A'la Maududi, Khilafa Mulukiya. I read that book and I was like gobsmacked. This is an amazing, unique book. I started reading more and more of his books and I just fell in love with him as a person. So then I made this decision. I told my father, I want to go and study in Darul Uloom Karachi in Pakistan. And I want to go and study by Sheikh Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani. And also because I wanted to do iftar more. So I remember that one of the times Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani was visiting the UK, he actually came to the UK and he was in Blackburn, in one of my teacher's house. So I actually met him there, and he used to know of my father. not know him well, but remember, as I said, in 1987 he came, so he knows my father as an old scholar, and he's always used to give my father salam through me. He knows my father as one of the elder scholars of the UK. He's always known that. So I mentioned that I'm his son, and I want to study, and I graduated from Bury, and so he said, inshallah, okay, come after Ramadan, mention that I had told you this, and come and we'll see. And you know. So then after Ramadan, I went there. I know I wrote to him after that, and he replied back, and then he said, bring this letter with you, and you can come after Ramadan. So I went there after Ramadan, and then when I went there, I went to his office, and he enrolled me. He told the person in charge that this person, you know, he's come from the UK, he's completed his Dars Nizami, and he wants to go to Takhassus fil Fiqhi wal Fatwa al Ifta down there. So, enroll him. So, alhamdulillah, I got enrolled there, and I studied down there in Darul Karachi. Now, in Darul Karachi, because I didn't do the Dars Nizami, Alimiya class, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhullah used to teach Sunan Jami', Sunan Imam Tirmidhi. So I sought special permission from him that can I just attend your Jami' Tirmidhi lesson. So he granted me that permission. The Sahih al-Bukhari used to be taught by a teacher called Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Sahban Mahmood Rahimahullah, who was actually a teacher of Mufti Taqi Uthmani. He passed away in 2001, I think. And there were other teachers, but I only attended the Jami' al-Tirmidhi or the Sunan of Tirmidhi lessons conducted by Mufti Taqi Uthmani. So my day used to start in the morning after breakfast. Darul Ulum Karachi is a massive institute, and I don't have really time to talk about it, but I've written a book on this, and inshallah we'll show you the book later as well. 2 weeks in Pakistan, I wrote with all the pictures and everything, you know, which I went recently, I visited 2 years ago. But when I was studying there, my day used to start with attending one and a half hours Sunan Tirmidhi lessons. And then I used to go to the Darul Ifta, where students are there year one or year two. They have a 2 year course, and they have a third year where you have to write a article. You have to write a maqala. So it's full 3 years. Some people do the 2 years and do the maqala going back home. Many stay there for 3 years. I didn't do the 3 years. I didn't do the maqala and I stayed there. I just do the 2 years. So I used to go to Darul Ifta. We used to have a lesson with Mufti Taqi Uthmani. And honestly, shaped a lot of my mind, my understanding. And that was like, because now I am in my early 20s. I've become more mature. This is the third decade of my life. His classes, we used to study Usul al-Ifta'i wa Adabuhu. He has a book himself. We have it here. It's just somewhere here, I think. It's here, actually. All the books, mashallah. This is his book. This one here. Usul al-Ifta'i wa Adabuhu. At that time, this wasn't published. It was actually just notes which students used to share, photocopy. It was in notes format. But then later, this was about 7-8 years ago, it got published as a book. The principles of fatwa and the etiquettes of fatwa. Usul al-Ifta'i wa Adabu, Muhammad Taqi al-Uthmani. So we used to have a lesson. So I used to attend the Sunan Tirmidhi one, then I come back, Darul Ifta, and then about 10:30 to 11:30, go with the Ifta students. There's 12 of us in his. We used to go to his office, and he used to teach us that. And he taught us another book, Buhuth fi Qadaya Fiqhiya Mu'asara, and did practical training of fatwa as well in the Darul Ifta of Darul Karachi. So, in Darul Karachi, subhanAllah, I mean, I can't, you know, really do service to my time there, and especially Mufti Taqi Uthmani. Much has been said about him and written, and there's no time for it right now. I've actually got another whole YouTube video on the life and the works of Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhullah. 2.5 hours, I think, we believe we recorded. It's on YouTube, inshallah, we can put that in the links, where I've talked about his life. But those lessons where you learn from his wisdom, his understanding, his balance, like Darul Ulum Karachi teaches you one thing, absolute balance, i'tidal. Balance in the way you talk, you write, you lecture, you give verdicts, you deal with issues. And that's why you will see graduates of Darul Karachi, they're very balanced. They're neither to the right, they don't become liberal, where they completely give up their basic principles, and just because wanting to be politically correct, wanting to fit in with the modern times, do away with traditional understanding of Islam. But at the same time, they're not very extreme and harsh. It's a very balanced way, and it's very difficult to even explain that. It's, you have to be there, you have to understand it, you have to embrace it. Once you embrace it, you get that understanding. I remember in, you know, the fatwa and iftars were, it's just so precautious. There was once, in the Darul Ifta, there were many teachers, okay? So for example, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he never used to be in the Darul Ifta. He used to have his own office, but the system worked that there were senior muftis in the Darul Ifta. Some of them were like Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani. He just passed away last year, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I did a small video on him as well. He was actually the nephew of Mufti Taqi Uthmani, but a senior mufti. Again, an amazing person of amazing balance. Mufti Abdul Rauf Zakarwi. There's Mufti Abdul Mannan. These are still there. They're still alive. Hafidhahumullah ta'ala. There was another mufti called Mufti Asghar Ali Rabbani. He's passed away now. Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani, who just passed away 2-3 weeks ago, the principal of Darul Karachi. He never used to be in Darul Ifta as well. He used to teach Sahih Muslim. Mufti Taqi Uthmani used to teach Jami' Tirmidhi. Sahih al-Bukhari was by Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Sahban Mahmood. I never studied officially by Mufti Rafi Uthmani because I didn't do the final year there. But in the Darul Ifta, the whole way of writing fatwa, the balance, the moderation, the understanding. I remember once there was a very sensitive issue, relating to a scholar. So when it was sent to a lot of madrasas in India, Pakistan, and everyone gave fatwas. When he came to Darul Karachi, all the muftis, including Mufti Muhammad Rafi and Mufti Taqi Uthmani, they deliberated, sat down for 5 days. And then finally, when they finished their consultation and mashwara of how to write the answer response, then the response task was given, the writing task was given to Mufti Taqi Uthmani. He wrote it and read it out. And everybody is saying, suggesting, and you know, changing. Okay, change this word with this one. I remember there was one word they were replacing, and we were students. We were given the opportunity to sit in the background and just observe. There was one word in Urdu. Mufti Rafi Uthmani said, "Okay, I think this word should be replaced by this word." And we students are looking at each other, thinking, "Like, what's the difference in the Urdu language? They both exactly. They mean the same thing." He's saying, no, that word just gives that 2% a bit extra heaviness, which this one doesn't give. And we need to use a slightly lighter word, even though it's like 5%. It means the same thing, but in the mind of the people, it gives a 5% slightly lighter reflection. So it has to be replaced. And then everyone, so even every word they deliberate, do they say it's haram? Is it sinful? Is it not permissible? We were like, told, don't use the word haram. It's right, it is not permissible. It is not appropriate or not permissible or impermissible in Urdu. Not jaiz. Sometimes we were not allowed to write not jaiz. We were supposed to write not durust. Durust nahi hai. It's not correct to do this. Or ijtinab zaruri hai. It's necessary to stay away from it. Just right now, a fatwa came from Darul Karachi, which was written by a grandson of Mufti Taqi Uthmani. He's actually doing his takhasus now. A good friend of mine, Abdullah Uthmani. So he was writing about YouTube, earning money through YouTube advertisements, monetizing. And the fatwa was that it's not allowed because these advertisements that appear, much of it is unlawful content. And if that's happening and you're making money out of it, then that money is not permissible. But they didn't say haram. The fatwa was written by the person who wrote, was written that because we don't have control over the content in the advertisements, therefore it is ijtinab zaruri hai. It is necessary to refrain from earning money through YouTube channels. So this is one thing that was taught: i'tidal, balance, you know, being very careful, being very precautious. And I have some of the fatwas as well. I mean, you know, we have a file here. Look, I've kept all my fatwas that I've been writing since those days. I think those are the Darul Ifta, but these ones here, I think. Let me just check these ones out. Maybe that one at the bottom. Look, I have a folder here. Yeah, this is a folder. So I started writing in Darul Umberi. You know, the first 1 year Ifta I did? So I have those ones as well. This was my first one I ever wrote. Fatwa number one. Afghani Islamic Center, New York. My first fatwa was sent to Afghani Islamic Center, New York. The question came to Darul Ulum in Berry. It was like a masjid. They had, in the front of the masjid, Allah's name in Arabic written like this, etc. Is it allowed? I wrote it handwritten. In regards to your question, it is not permissible to write or decorate in the mosque with waqf money, donated money. One can only use donated money for necessary purposes, buildings, rooms, wudu place, etc. And written by Muhammad ibn Adam, student of Darul Ifta, Darul Umberi, March 1996. This is a stamp of Darul Umberi. Al-Jawab Sahih, answer is correct, signed by Mufti Shabira. This was my first one. And then all the ones I wrote in Darul Umberi, they're all here. These are all photocopies, number two, number three. A lot of them were in English. Some were in Urdu, a lot of them were in English. And then these are the ones from Darul Karachi. You see the paper is photocopy. These are all when I was studying in Darul Karachi. I had like this one, for example. I like this one because this was written. This question came from somebody from Dewsbury. It says 1998. I wrote the answer in Urdu and Arabic, the fatwa. And I've written here at the end. Katabahu Muhammad bin Adam, Bartanwi. Written by Muhammad bin Adam from Britain. Darul Ifta of Darul Karachi, 10/4/1419. And then you have signs. Al-Jawab Sahih. Answer is correct. Muhammad Taqi Uthmani. Al-Jawab Sahih. Mahmoud Ashraf. Al-Jawab Sahih. Abdullah, this is Mufti Abdullah. This is Mufti Abdul Rauf Sakarwi, Mufti Abdul Mannan. I have Mufti Muhammad Rafi' Uthmani never used to sign because he wasn't connected to Darul Ifta unless if it's a critical situation. But once he told me, and I've written about this as well recently, and I said that he told me once that, you know, you're in Darul Ifta, you're studying, how's your studies going? He used to often ask me because he's known my father, he knows I've come from the UK. I said, Alhamdulillah, it's going well. He said, show me one or two of your fatwas so I can also see it. So two or three just fatwas, just for barakah purposes. He told me to bring them and he signed them. He said, he told me himself, said, bring your fatwa, I'll sign them for you. So at least, yeah, I had his sign on them. So I've got, I think, Muhammad Rafi Uthmani somewhere, Muhammad Taqi Uthmani on few as well. Now the students, Mufti Taqi Uthmani never used to sign as well. The way the system used to work there was that in the Darul Ifta, the two senior muftis was Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani and Mufti Abdul Rauf Sakarwi. And those were the main signatories, you know, the ones who sign your fatwa. But if something is critical, but something is like more serious, like a high level issue, and they are not also absolutely happy and content with the answer, they need further approval, then they would send it to Mufti Taqi Uthmani. So the students were used to try to get those really difficult type of questions so that they get the opportunity to have their answer, fatwa, answered by Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah. So yeah, this was in Darul Umm Karachi, alhamdulillah, it was a good time studying in Darul Umm Karachi. And also, you know, I think when I studied in Karachi in Pakistan, I used to go and visit other scholars. And this I did later on as well, when I studied in Syria. So, in Karachi, when we had the weekend, I used to want to go and see all the different types of scholars. So there was somebody called Hakim, Sheikh Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar, rahimahullah. A lot of his books. He's a very famous Sufi scholar, tasawwuf, tazkiyah. He used to come to the UK. He was also very close to my father. He used to come to my father's house when I was young. My elder brother went to Pakistan and studied there as well, but in another place. He was there for a few months. So he used to go there quite often, became very close to him. He has a lot of students and disciples across the world. He used to have a madrasa called Ashraful Madaris and Khanqa, like a zawiya. Khanqa Imdadi Ashrafiya. So I used to go there every week. I became very close to him. He told me, make sure every weekend is Thursday, Friday. Jumu'ah, you have to pray here. So I used to go sometimes Thursday night, sometimes Friday morning. And before Jumu'ah, he used to give like an hour majlis talk. So he used to have various people reading nasheeds and na'at, which, and most of the time were his own words. So I used to read, because he heard me here in the UK. So when I went there, he used to introduce me. He said, this is my, you know, from UK, he's studying in Darul Berry, in Darul Karachi. And he's come here, and I've made sure, I've told him every week he has to come. So every week I used to recite nasheed and na'at, and, you know, in Urdu, his poetry. I remember once, you know, I was reciting a lot, and there's a sister section as well. So it's from the sister section, one of the sisters sent a note that is the student who's come from here, I would like to marry him. So he actually said it in the majlis. He said, these khawateen are shayateen. These women are shayateen. She was studying in a madrasa as well, listening to, because I'm from the UK, reading na'at, etc. So then he said, from now on, whenever he reads, and he used to really like my voice. He used to say, iske awaz mein jadu hai. He's got magic in his voice. And he says, he's doing jadu on these women. So from now on, whenever he recites na'at, speaker mic system off for the sisters. And then I was banned from, or they were banned from listening to me. But yeah, alhamdulillah, I used to go there every week. And then after his Jumu'ah, he was very popular. People wanted to meet him, people wanted to talk to him. But alhamdulillah, I got the opportunity to stay in his company. He used to say, you have to eat with me. I remember one of the weekends, I just went and had food, lunch with some of the UK students. So he used to have a khadim called Mir Sahib. He told him, go and look for him. He said, Sheikh is calling you. So I went, he said, where were you? Why didn't you come to eat? Because he had told me they should eat with me. I said, I thought, you know, it's inconvenience. I just thought I've got these friends. He said, no, from next week, make sure I don't have to call you again. Every Friday, without fail, after Jumu'ah, Hakim Mawlana Akhtar, rahimahullah, his main close associate, Mir Sahib, he's also passed away, and his son, Hakim Akhtar Sahib's son, Hakim Mawlana Madhar, who's now the principal, in the room, and me, just four of us. And I used to eat with him, and then after that, when I used to leave, he used to make sure that he gives me an apple or a banana or something to take in the bus or in the taxi. So every week, and I used to go with him, and I used to see all his disciples and his murids and students. It's a different atmosphere, very different to Darul Karachi. It was more tasawwuf oriented and a different flavor. It wasn't something that was my flavor, to be honest. But I, you know, at that time I was absorbing all of that a lot. When he used to give me that apple after Jumu'ah, finish, have the dinner with lunch with him, 3-4 o'clock, then I'm leaving, because I came in the morning or I came the night before and slept there. So he used to say to his khadim, okay, make sure, give him apple or whatever, make sure you eat it when you're going back to Darul Uloom, Karachi, make sure on the way, or eat it at night. In the bag, fill some fruits for him. I never used to tell him that I'm actually not going to Darul Uloom, Karachi, I'm going to another sheikh. Close to his place, because he was in Gulshan Iqbal in Karachi, there was another place called Nadim Abad. Nadim Abad, there was a big sheikh called Mufti Rashid Ahmed Ludhianwi. Mufti Rashid Ahmed Ludhianwi was in his 80s. He is like unique. He's actually a teacher of Mufti Taqi Uthmani and Mufti Rafi Uthmani. He actually taught in Darul Karachi, even Sahih al-Bukhari. Then he went and established his own Darul Ifta wal-Irshad. And he opened a khanqa, zawiya, and a darul ifta for students, and a training place. You know, a lot of the Taliban and all of them, they were all his students. He was like the head, the supreme amir, head of the whole of Afghanistan, everything. But these are his fatwa. Ahsan al-Fatawa, 10 volumes, all his fatawas in here. He had some individual opinions about very, very, he's a Pathan, like, in his 80s or late 70s, he could do karate kicks. He used to walk, like 78, 79, tall, very, very, like, healthy, and at that time, he used to come with 2-3 bodyguards, like, with bulletproofs, with guns. If you go to his place, you get scanner and scanned and everything, because there were assassination attempts on him. Now, many scholars in Pakistan have guards, but that time, he was unheard of. And even when he used to come, only people with bodyguards, with guns, offer salah around him. Mufti Rashid Ahmed Ludhianwi. So, he used to have, on Friday night, a special majlis between Asr and Maghrib, Islahi Tasawuf Majlis. And after Maghrib, 10 minutes for all the ulama who have come to just meet him. Just meet him, talk to him if you want to. 10, 15 minutes. So I used to finish there at 3, 4 o'clock and take a bus or a taxi and get there for Asr. And sometimes I used to get there before Asr. So his student was Mufti Abdurrahim. Mufti Abdurrahim is actually really famous right now. He's the one who is in charge of the great Jami'at al-Rashid in Karachi. Jami'at al-Rashid is a very popular, modern type of madrasa. He's the student and a very... Jami'at al-Rashid is on the name of Sheikh Rashid Ahmed al-Dianwi, his teacher's name. So I used to go half an hour before, so I made friends with him. And I told him, I said, look, if I come, then can you just let me in? So I used to go and sit with him. And then so I used to attend his majlis. A different flavor there. A very... different, very different, you could say, a very, you know, fatwa, extreme type of flavor. But I also absorb that as well. And then on Thursday night, sometimes I used to go to Mawlana Rashid, Mawlana Yusuf Lidhianvi. So I used to go to all these different places. Bin Nuri Town was a madrasa. Sometimes I used to pass by there, go there as well, and just see what's going on there. The only flavor I didn't take too much of was the tabligh. I just didn't want to. I don't know. In my student days as well, I just didn't feel like going to that. And even, I think once or twice I went on the Thursday night, they used to have, you know, the ishtima, not the ishtima, you know, the Thursday night, they have this, what did they call it? Every Thursday night gathering. You know, Thursday nights for the Jama'at Tabligh have this in their markas. So I think once or twice I went, just sore, but I wasn't like inclined towards that from that time. So I haven't spent, people have asked me, have you ever spent time in Jama'at Tabligh? I say, no, I'm still a Muslim. You know, I haven't spent time. Maybe I spent once 3 days in my whole entire life. For some people, that's very difficult to digest, because even scholars, because they started off with that, because their parents were in Jama'at Tabligh, and that was the reason why they came into Deen and Ilm. But for me, it was all very different. My journey didn't begin from Jama'at Tabligh. My father hardly went in Jama'at Tabligh. It's a very different way. So you could still be a good practicing Muslim. You could still be called a Muslim even though you've never been in Jama'at Tabligh. But anyway, this is what I try to do, is try to get from different places. I actually did want to go to other cities as well, like Islamabad and Lahore and a lot of madaris there. But, you know, I wasn't able to go. There were a couple of... I remember once, because I said Jami'atul Islamiyah, Bin Nuri Town is a very famous madrasa. I remember once there were two great scholars who both passed away. Dr. Abdul Razak Skander, a major scholar, and there was Mufti Nizamuddin Shamsi. These are senior scholars. Once I traveled with them on a plane from Karachi to somewhere in Punjab, because they were invited, and the person inviting them wanted to invite my father, but then because my father said, I don't travel to Pakistan, or I couldn't travel, so he said, my son is studying there, take him if you want. So he paid for my ticket, and I went in a plane. On my right side was Dr. Abdul Razak Skander, like a senior scholar. He's passed away now. And Mufti Nizamuddin Shamsi, he's passed away as well. Both of them in my right and left. I did khidmah, both of them. A day trip, 1 hour flight, and then the evening flight back. So, alhamdulillah, these scholars in Pakistan, you know, I visited them and tried to stay in their company while studying in Pakistan, alongside the amazing Darul Uloom Karachi and the amazing understanding and the balance and the teachings of Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah.
So Sheikh, I'd like to ask you, you know, you mentioned that Mufti Taqi Hafidhahullah will refer to you as Mullah Mukhtasar. And, you know, it seems as though you have some sense of informal relationship with him. I also came to know that he calls you, he refers to you as his son. How did you build or how did you grow this relationship with him? How did this relationship come about?
Yeah, subhanAllah. These relationships that are created between two people, teacher, student, it has to be from one side, generally, a desire. You know, there has to be always one side. Then the other side will reciprocate. Sometimes it's from both sides together. You know, it's happening, the husband-wife relationship, or two brothers, or two, you know, siblings. But especially with a teacher-student relationship, majority has to come first from the student. So, like I said, when I was studying, well, before I went to study in Darul Uloom in Karachi, Pakistan, he didn't know me. He knew my father, and like I said, when he came here, I mentioned to him that I want to come and study. So he knew kind of my father, not too well as well. When I was studying there, he knew that I'm the UK student, and his father is a scholar down there. He used to see me regularly, but that's it. He never used to know my name. I mean, there are thousands of students. In Darul Uloom Karachi, at one given time, there's about 10 to 15,000 students. And he's had students from across the world. And not just students, he's traveled the world multiple times, different countries. He can't remember people, especially now. Recently, he says, in the last few years, I just don't remember anyone. Now it's difficult to start getting to know new people because you reach that age. When you're a bit younger, if the people you know, you know. So... anyway, at that time, when I was studying, the only thing he knew about me, I'm some UK guy. He didn't know my name. And then when I came back, I made a point of making sure, number one, of trying to write to him every now and then. But still, there has to be something that you need to write about. And number two, mainly, was that whenever he came to the UK, every visit of his, I made sure that I attended every program, I met him wherever he was. I used to go there, every place. He actually once said to me, "You are Hadir Nadir." This was in 2012 or 2013, because I remember when he came in 2012, he came to the UK, he came to my house as well that time. I gave him a dinner. But every program, London, he goes, "You're in London, you're in Scotland here today," like wherever he's there, I am there at every place. And he used to call me, he used to say, "You are Hadir Nadir," like you're everywhere basically. As in a joking way. So anyway, he saw that I'm, you know, somebody that I really, really like him, and I really like his teachings, and I have a lot of love and respect and awe. And I mean, he is one of the greatest scholars, if not for me, the greatest scholar in the world, and has been for the past many years. So of course, he started getting to know my name. And then around 2009, 10, yeah. He knew I studied in Darul Uloom Karachi, but now he knows Muhammad bin Adam. He started knowing me by name a bit. And then more and more, and then I travel with him, so I get more close to him. As you travel with someone, you get more close. And then he saw, you know, probably, you know, the love I showed towards him, and maybe, you know, some of the things that I'm always talking about him. And he actually, once I wrote an article about him. He was in the UK, but I wrote 6 prophetic quality traits of Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani. Hafidhahullah. This was, I think, 2015-16, around that time. So he became viral, and he went to his family, his grandson or his son, and his son forwarded it to his mother, and his wife read it, and his wife told me, next morning he was leaving the UK, and I went to the airport as well. So his wife told me, said, "Oh, I received your article. I was reading it, I was showing it to Mufti Taqi Uthmani," her husband. So these things, of course, come to their notice. So therefore, alhamdulillah, then he reciprocated, and on a few occasions, alhamdulillah, I mean, I feel quite, because I feel very close to him, so, you know, I feel quite honored and privileged that, yeah, on 3 occasions, I've recorded them, but 3 occasions he said, he called me his son. Mullah Mukhtasar was like, you know, as a joke, because, you know, Mullah Mukhtasar, his father was Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahimahullah, who was short. So his father was called by his father's teacher, Imam Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Mullah Mukhtasar. He used to always call him Mullah Mukhtasar because it's very short. So as a joke, when I visited him recently, he said to me, "You are Mullah Mukhtasar." But that was just in a joking way. But on three occasions, I've got a WhatsApp message from him, which I've, you know, saved, and I put it on my laptop everywhere. Once he was in the UK, again, 5-6 years ago, after he left, we dropped him off at Birmingham Airport, and I just messaged him on WhatsApp audio. I said, "Alhamdulillah, it was great, you know, to stay in your company here, and, you know, it's sad that, you know, you've left, etc." So from the plane, he sent me a WhatsApp message after about a couple of hours, replying, "Alhamdulillah, it was great to see you as well, and etc., etc." Allah gave a lot of du'as, and then at the end he said, I have love for you as I have love for my children." So that was the once. And then the second time, I traveled to Holland, the Netherlands, and I've got a whole article on that. 3 days in the Netherlands with Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani. We've put it up on our Darlifta website with pictures. So we were at a university, and Rotterdam University. There's a professor there, a Turkish scholar. So he turned around, we were all walking, we had entered, and he turned around and he looked at me, this professor, and he said to me, "Are you his son?" So before I responded, I was just about to say, "No, he's my teacher," etc. Mufti Taqi Uthmani was listening, he just turned around and said, "Na'am, ibni ar-ruhi, na'am, he's my spiritual son." So I didn't have to respond. And the third is in writing. I have my Takmila Fathul Mulhim, which is his commentary of Sahih Muslim. I have it down there, the fourth volume. You just print it, I think it's good to just see it. These are my three things that I really like. Fourth volume. The first, which is the first of Takmila. So, Fathul Mulhim and Takmila Fathul Mulhim. Takmila Fathul Mulhim is his commentary on Sahih Muslim, which is an Arabic commentary, very famous. Sahih Muslim, the fourth one, I think. This is his commentary of Sahih Muslim. Yeah, so I asked him to write some dua and his sign, autograph. Not autograph, but really a sign. So I had my name already here. So he wrote it. He first said to me, he said, "Give it to me as a hadiah, so then I can say I gifted this to you." So I gave it to him as a hadiah. And he wrote, "Uhdi hadha al-mujallad, I gift this volume, this book, ila al-akh al-habib fillah, to the brother beloved in Allah, alladhi min ajli hubbihi, the one because of his love, a'tabiruhu mithla ibnin li, the one I consider as a son to me, maqrulun bil ijaza, attached with his ijaza kullu ma arwi an mashayikhi fil qalat al-hindiya," and the rest of the dua of ijaza, and you know, وفي البلاد العربية داعيا لله داعيا الله تعالى أن يوفقنا جميعا لما فيه رضاه etc. وما ذلك على من رحمته بعزيز محمد تقي العثماني 14th شعبان 1440 5 years ago 4, 5, when he was when he was in Leicester in the UK. So yeah, so these are my three things I feel very 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 happy about, and I don't deserve it, of course, and you know, it's just his husnuddan, and you know, it's just good opinion, and I mean, he doesn't think I'm a great person in terms of ilm and knowledge and wisdom, etc. It's just a love, because of reciprocating love.
So when was your last visit to Pakistan?
Yeah, so I studied around 99, like I said, after Darul Uloom Berri and the 1 year gap, and then I studied there, and then I came back. After that, I never visited Pakistan for many, many years. For 19 years. I don't really know why I didn't visit. Maybe because he used to always come here every year, maybe 2-3 times a year. And for me, it was all Mufti Taqi Uthmani. So I used to get to see him every year, if not once, twice a year, 3 times a year. Sometimes he's been in the UK 3 times a year. So I never just, the thought just didn't come to my mind to go and visit. But then when COVID crisis occurred, and when we were in the COVID period, he didn't come for over a year or something. This was in December. His last journey to the UK, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, was I traveled with him to Holland, like I mentioned. And then from Holland, we came back to the UK. He had a program here in Leicester as well, in our city. That was January 2020. And that was the last time he visited UK, January 2020. So next month will be 3 years. After that, we had lockdown around in March. He actually visited Medina Munawwara in February, and then he didn't travel anywhere as well. March was lockdown. So the whole year was lockdown. So I thought it's been going to be a year, and I don't know when he'll come back, and I think I should visit Karachi. So I visited Karachi after I studied in 1999-2000, and I went in December 2020. So you're looking at like 19 odd years. After 19 years, I went, and I wrote a whole book, because it was, I stayed there for about 2 weeks, good 14-15 days. And not just Karachi, I also went to Multan and Lahore, but I studied, I visited Karachi, and met all the teachers. Mufti Rafi Uthmani was there, alhamdulillah, got to see him, spent time in his house. Mufti Mahmoud Ashraf Uthmani was there. And Mufti Taqi Uthmani, alhamdulillah, spent a lot of time with him. And I actually wrote a whole book on it. We've got a whole book. The book is there as well. 2 weeks in Pakistan. This is for the viewers who don't know about this book. It's a free copy. You can order it from our website. There's a PDF online version as well. This is a whole travelogue of Pakistan. So, alhamdulillah, that was my visit. And then, this year, so that was December 2020. Then, December 2021, I wanted to visit again. Last year, December, but then I couldn't. So then, in Ramadan this year, which was March, April 2022, I've spent last 10 days in Darul Karachi again. And I'm hoping, inshallah, to go again as well. Like, I want to make it like a yearly thing now. Once a year, I have to visit. I mean, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, we don't know how long Allah keeps him from a long, long time. But, you know, to be able to see him every year is a must. So, yeah, alhamdulillah.